Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here today. It is 3 p.m. Eastern at our broadcast center. That is noon Pacific. And thanks for making us a part of your day. We really appreciate the feedback and all the passion everybody has for our series of conversations, exclusive conversations with our fascinating guests who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. We're continuing our exclusive series as we welcome back executive coach Dinette Suddeth to our show, live and direct from Las Vegas, Nevada. In the wake of the pandemic, employees, of course, have had the opportunity to decide what is most important for them. And a lot of people are making those decisions. They've learned that they have different priorities now for what's important for them in a corporate environment and in their own individual lives, too. Our guest, Coach Dinette Suddeth, says she believes this is a reckoning. There's been the great resignation that's been happening as well at the time of this broadcast. What she sees in the future is the opportunity to take these lessons learned. And there have been many teachable moments during everything we've experienced in the last 2+ years now. And to really see what's working well and bring that into our future while leaving behind what no longer serves us. Now, as a coach, Dinette is really dedicated to helping organizations build strong, diverse leadership teams. And she has all the expertise in business development, career planning, change leadership, effective communication, emotional intelligence. That's very important, having empathy for others and trying to see what it is that they might be struggling with. Finance, leadership development, strategic planning, team building, and more. And she encourages her clients to make an action plan so they can believe that they will accomplish their goals and they will accomplish them. Prior to striking out as a coach, and we touched upon this in part one, but in case you missed it, she spent the majority of her career in the financial services and commercial banking industry with an expertise in the gaming sector, and she works with her clients these days who are clearly overwhelmed. They're responsible for more than one person, for work that more than one person can ever accomplish, yet they are typically navigating change, which can also be difficult, as we've all learned of late. She says there are leaders who walk into work every day scared because they don't have the answers and there's no playbook. They don't have role models ahead of them to bring them along. The question, she says, is how are you going to respond in a way that you can change outcomes to serve you, your team, and your company? That's where executive coach Dinette Suddeth comes in. She can help you get there. She has the tools in her toolkit, the resources. She's empathetic. She's a great listener. And she forms and establishes trust with her clients right at the outset. So it's a winning combination when you work with Dinette. It's our pleasure to welcome her back for part two of our series together here on Close Up Radio. Dinette, thank you very much for joining us once again for part two. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's my pleasure to be here.
You are very, very welcome. You know, I'm fascinated by this work, and we've obviously experienced a few major things, I would say, that only maybe Rod Serling, George Lucas, Stephen King, or Steven Spielberg could ever script it. Monumental changes in our lives, monumental changes in the business structure, where we're working, how we're working, what locations we're working from. There's been a lot that's gone on, and people have been reassessing their lives. They've been pausing and breathing and saying, okay, what do I want to do next? Leaders themselves have been saying, okay, how are we going to move forward in this new paradigm shift that has happened and is still happening in our lives? Tell us about that, you know, how you see people dealing with it. I'm sure you've been very busy because I know a lot of coaches have been very busy during this time because people have been reaching out saying, what do I do next? I thought I had a certain game plan here, and it's all been uprooted and changed and morphed. How do we adapt? What do we do next? Tell us about some of that and the guidance that you've expertly been providing to your clients through times like what we've been going through of late and just in ordinary times.
Thank you very much, Jim. A lot of the clients that I work with have multiple aspects of change that they're trying to navigate all at the same time. And many times they just don't feel like they have enough control in any one area, you know, to make a difference or feel like they're moving forward. So what I do is work with clients to make sure that they are focusing on things that they can control, things that are important to them, and especially in the work environment, how they can reframe their perspective so that they are approaching it from a point of view where they can take control and make a difference. I'll just give you one example. A client of mine has endured significant change in her professional career and her position, change of leadership, change of direction for the organization. And what we've worked on is really taking into perspective the point of view of the new leader, the point of view of the interim supervisor that they're working with, what matters for them, how can they do their job to the best of their ability every day with a lot of intentionality around communication. And that goes both ways, asking the right questions, listening to the answers, and asking questions where you can get the clarity you need to do your job. And that's how I work with a lot of my clients right now who are trying to navigate multiple aspects of things they haven't previously experienced.
That's fantastic. And as I said, I'm sure they've been reaching out and you've been a source of comfort and solace and helping them find clarity in the clouds of everything that's been going on because, you know, it's none of us necessarily have a plan of attack in any sort of way, so we've had to really change and morph and pivot. This work for you is a true passion. I mean, it's definitely a calling. You've been doing it for a long time, and you're highly regarded in the industry. Tell us about some of those things in your own life's journey that have pointed you in the direction of doing this work. Some of those inspirations for you that sort of clicked in and said, not only do I want to do this work, helping, guiding, inspiring, I must do this work. It's in my DNA. It's reflective of who I am as a person.
Very early in my career, even while I was still in college, I worked full time. And I had a leader who had the ability to point out things that I was doing that wasn't positive or serving me well, and offering ideas and helping me think through what I wanted and what was I doing to accomplish what I wanted. And just having those very candid conversations, so many times I see with clients, they don't know the rules. There's a book out, a new book out called The Invisible Rules by Dr. Holly Catalfamo. And we don't know, many of us who are, you know, first timers in a professional setting, what those expectations are. I thought, you know, if I worked super hard and knew all the answers, you know, then I would get all the accolades that I, in my opinion, had earned and deserved. And that leader, she really took time to help me see the impact that my actions were having on others, especially when I started managing and supervising teams. And at one of my very early on supervisory positions, I had the youngest staff member and the oldest staff member at our company on one of my teams, and just really learning how to manage everybody in an effective way to help them accomplish their goals. And if, you know, my supervisor and leader hadn't taken the time to show me, I would have never succeeded. I know, excuse me, because of my personality, I'm very direct, very hard-charging, very driven. I needed somebody to help me understand. It is political. People do need to like you, and your actions have impact on others that you may not intend. And so just getting that guidance early on in my career that really helped my trajectory as a leader be successful and move through ranks and change positions. It's what I want to help others do who have those same aspirations. Whatever their goals are, I want to help them achieve those.
That's fantastic. That's really amazing. I love that. You know, there's been a lot of transition. There's been a lot of transformation happening as well. Some people are hardwired to not necessarily see their blind spots, right? You know, they might be going along in life, doing what they do well and doing it in a certain rote fashion. But when experiences like what we've been experiencing are thrown at us in many different ways, many different aspects, sometimes being aware of the blind spots, being aware of the ability to change and sort of go with the flow while still being independent and creative and inspiring is very important, right?
It is essential, and especially now where a lot of people feel that their priorities have been realigned through COVID. I think that leadership will include going forward that ability to see where we're currently maybe not seeing things that are impacting especially ourselves and our people. And oftentimes it's just we think that everybody feels the way we do or thinks about things the way that we do, and asking more for other people's input. A lot of older leaders, I'll put myself in that boat, you know, felt like we had to have all the answers. People would come to us with questions and, you know, we would provide the solutions. And now today, and I believe going forward as a leader, I don't know the things that I'm not necessarily seeing, and it's really important to see, have people help me see those blind spots. Sometimes it's a peer, sometimes it's a manager, but a lot of times it can be people who report to us if we just ask the right questions. And so I work very intentionally with leaders to develop questions that they can use with their team to help them see their own blind spots, and then see what blind spots their team may have. And that's where innovation comes from. That's the emotional intelligence aspect of the work that I do. And I wish it was required in school, just like learning to read and write and math and all that other stuff. Because to be successful, truly successful as a human being, I think emotional intelligence is necessary.
Tell us about, I'm very familiar with it, and I always end up on an airplane with one of my emotional intelligence books that I'm reading. I'm very in tune with emotional intelligence, and in looking at my own life, I think I was aware of it even when I was a kid, just couldn't define it, didn't know what the wording was for it, and now understanding the importance of emotional intelligence, and for leaders, being in tune with emotional intelligence is huge, is paramount, because even as you know, you're working with leaders all the time, the role, definition of, application of being a leader is changing. Instead of the person in the ivory tower looking down at everybody, really effective leaders, and there have been many who have been rising to the occasion and just developing out of nowhere through the events we've had in the last 2 years or so, realizing empathy and unification, a listening ear, bringing people together, having, you know, roundtables where everybody participates with ideas of how to grow and how to produce. When people are appreciated and valued and respected and heard, they're more willing to want to produce. They're more willing to, you know, want to roll up their sleeves and dig in, which overall helps a company, a vision, an idea. So being in tune with emotional intelligence is paramount, I'm sure you will agree. But define for our audience, from your perspective, what emotional intelligence is? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening right now are saying, I keep hearing this emotional intelligence. What the heck is it?
I appreciate that opportunity, Jim. Really, emotional intelligence, the way that I describe it in everyday terms, is being able to say the right thing to the right person at the right time to the right degree. And, you know, if you put it in a parenting context, you know, as a parent, if you've got a toddler who's upset, you don't run up to them and holler and tell them everything they've just done that's terribly wrong, right? You know, they've broken another glass or who knows what's happened. The important thing from an emotional intelligence perspective is just really being able to assess the impact that we're having on others, increasing our own self-awareness of how we're being triggered. And then another real critical aspect is self-management. And when I'm giving webinars and teaching emotional intelligence, I tell, you know, the people who are listening, if you don't learn anything else today when we're done, the one thing I want you to take away is pausing, because that's our ability to separate our actions from our thoughts. And if you don't hit send on the email, you don't hit send on the text or Slack or whatever other communication, or, you know, jump down somebody's throat, you know, for responding in a way that triggered you or offended you, taking that pause, being able to really literally clear your mind, physiologically that's what's happening, then you can respond in an intelligent way that will help you accomplish the goals that you want. You know, a lot of times I talk to people and they're like, I don't care, this is, you know, I'm so upset. And once they get past being upset, hopefully then they'll care. And that's why it's important from an emotional intelligence skill set to learn that gift of not acting and just taking a break, waiting until tomorrow, letting it sit in draft. And that's really the secret sauce or silver bullet, if you will, of emotional intelligence, is being able to pause.
Yes, and I think we're in a time period where a lot of people could use a dose or two of emotional intelligence, because a lot of people right now in every aspect of life are very reactionary. They're on the defense or on the offense about just about anything you say or do. And when that trickles into, you know, the work environment, the corporate environment, it can really have a steady flow of negativity and problems that occur as a result. So people being aware of it and applying it and appreciating it is definitely essential. You know, one of the things that's also essential that I know you're very in tune with is developing trust, and the trust between you and your client and the client and you is another thing that's paramount and important to you, isn't it?
Absolutely critical. Can't coach effectively without it.
So when you have that scenario in place, then take us through maybe an example of what happens in the beginning. If somebody's listening now and they connect with you and they're like, gee, we could really use, you know, a dose of Danette and what she's talking about here, when they connect with you, what are some of the first things you do? Do you do an initial assessment? Take us maybe through a little scenario of some of those first steps when you're working with a client.
I appreciate that question, Jim, because many people who have not experienced coaching don't know what to expect. And the first thing that I do with somebody who's interested in coaching is I ask them if they've had coaching before and what that experience was, so that I can level set. So I always start trying to understand where they're coming from and their point of view. Then I do what we call a coaching fit conversation. It has to be a good fit for them, and it has to be a good fit for me. I describe the priorities of coaching. I'm the ICF. I'm a ACC certified coach through the International Coaching Federation, and that's our highest level organization of expectations that people should have of coaches. And so we use that as a guideline and benchmark. And I will provide clients with those foundational questions if they're interested in interviewing multiple coaches. I'm never offended if they want to talk to somebody after me or they've talked to somebody before me, because the only way for them to be able to accomplish their goals is to feel comfortable sharing everything they want to about those goals and trust that I will help them on that journey. So I explain that coaching, generally speaking, is me helping you figure out what it is you want to accomplish, how important is that for you, what are you willing to do to accomplish that goal, how are you going to handle obstacles when they come up, because they will. And then I describe my style. As I said very early on in our conversation, I'm very direct, and I'm open about that, because some people, that's what they want. They want somebody who's going to shoot straight, tell them what they need to do. Other people may prefer to have it be more of a conversational style, you know, where they're not told exactly, you know, the observations that the other person is seeing. And I do it in a very productive and constructive way. I will ask permission from my clients to say, I'm observing something here. Do you mind if I share? And if they're not ready to hear it, I take that into consideration. I use my own emotional intelligence with a client. And I say it in a very caring way. You know, I have to challenge you here. That's part of my brand, if you will, my persona is. Trust me, I couldn't change it if I wanted to. I was in the principal's office for the first time and not the last time in the first grade. I challenge authority. That's part of my hardwiring. And so I will say, I want to challenge you here. You told me X at the beginning was your goal, but what I'm hearing you say is Y. How is that in alignment with the goal? You know, and really give them that point of view, as we've discussed, about their blind spot. And then if they want to go there, we go there. If they don't want to go there and they want to stay on the path that they're on, I think it was Plato or Socrates, I can't remember which one, said, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I always appreciate that point of view. If somebody's not ready to hear it, it doesn't matter how clear it is to me or anybody else. We're going to continue on the journey that they want to be on. That's what coaching is. So I have those types of discovery conversation so that they can think about it and then discuss, you know, what makes sense for them. I customize all of my coaching engagements, the assessments that I use, the topics that we cover, the tools based on their goals.
That's fantastic. And I love that quote too, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That came from Buddha.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's a good one.
I appreciate that.
And what a good one to select. You obviously are very passionate about what you do, and it speaks to the essence of who you are. Do you have an example maybe or two of some of the work in action? Obviously, you don't have to mention names or anything, but just to give people an idea of how you do what you do, because, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there, but you're unique in what you do and in your approach. So maybe you can share some examples of that work in action.
Absolutely. I have a client that I've been working with for about a month now. We have a six-month engagement. And we were in the process of setting the goal, the agreement, the coaching agreement that's always established at the beginning. And one of the things that he had identified in his action plan came up in the way that he was handling the meeting that we were having around setting the goal. And I said to him, we're going to get back to the agreement, but if you don't mind, I'd like to share what I've observed here and challenge you a little bit. And he's like, yeah, please go right ahead. And I described how he had approached the situation that we were having from my point of view, and said, how does that show up for you in your work with either your manager or your direct report? Because it tied directly into one of the goals he was working on establishing. And as he was describing it to me, you know, I could see his body language. You know, he sits back and says, this has really been an epiphany for me. Just holding up effectively a mirror and saying, when you use these words, this is the reaction that somebody is likely to have who reports to you versus how you would show up for somebody who you report to. And really putting that in a broader context. And it was really, he's changed how he engages with his direct reports, and we're, you know, just barely a month into our engagement, and his behavior's already being modified. So that's just one, you know, example of somebody where taking something real life, using that, and expanding the point of view, helping them see their blind spots, and then making changes that will hopefully be able to be sustained because they're going to make that part of their regular routine. That's a recent example.
That is fantastic. Do you have another quick one you might want to share?
I think that I do. I think that one thing I see, especially with new leaders, and again, a client comes to mind, is helping them slow down and ask questions of their manager, because we all get, you know, in the little hamster wheel very easily. I will say, generally speaking, women are especially conditioned, socialized, and trained to answer questions when asked. We don't necessarily have to do that. We can ask other questions and often benefit from answering a question with another question. I've worked recently with a leader, you know, who's just taking on a huge role that's changing and growing from week to week, and saying, okay, you know, the next time you meet with your leader, because she's at that mid-level, you know, what's most important for you in that meeting to walk away from, and how are you going to ask those questions? And oftentimes when they struggle with that, I'll use role-playing. As corny as that sounds, the first time we say something is not nearly as good as the second, third, or fourth. And so just being able to work out those quirks and being able to focus on the thing that they really want to accomplish in that conversation and having a plan around how they're going to say that. Again, that's just another recent example.
Very nice. I love that. Now, if folks do want to make contact with you, they can go to the website, www.suddeth, I-N-C, which is, of course, Inc., or Incorporated short. So that's SuddethInc.com. Suddeth, Inc., that's I-N-C, .com. To connect with you and learn more about some of what we've been talking about on this episode and what was covered on part one a week ago as well. A real pleasure chatting with you, Danette. You're very passionate and not only skilled and experienced at it, but you really have this desire to want to see people have productive, satisfying, fulfilled, happy lives. And when they have that, it's golden, and everybody, and then they pay it forward. And then it's just this wonderful ongoing pebble that you throw in the lake and ripples out into to the other side of the shore, and it's a beautiful thing. So thanks for sharing the time with us and being my guest today on part two of your series. And I hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line. That would be a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Jim. It has been a pleasure speaking with you. Have a great day.
You too. Keep up the amazing work because you're doing things that are really impacting people's lives in a beautiful, long-lasting way. So keep going at it. Executive Coach Danette Suddeth is our very special guest. And again, you can go to Suddeth Inc., that's INC.com, to connect with her. We strongly recommend that you do. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, right here on Close Up Radio. Stay tuned. be back momentarily with another amazing guest celebrated right here on our program. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Be well, and thanks for listening to this episode of Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.